Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbiter?" And then he said to the crowds, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of one's possessions." And then he told them a parable. There was a rich man who had land and which produced a bountiful harvest. And he asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." He said to himself, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. Then I shall store all my grain and other goods and say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. The text which you're reading for today from the book of Luke appears only in Luke's gospel, but it has a very powerful message, and I found it very demanding when I reflect on it myself in order to prepare this homily. The fundamental statement that Jesus makes is, "Avoid all greed." And so we have the opening part of it, contesting a will, which, as we know, is very common. People fight over the will. You read about the rich and the famous in the news, and when they die, there's a huge break in the family over the will. I've seen it in my own family back in Ireland. People become very greedy when they get to dealing with a will. But Jesus says, "Let me tell you a story." He tells this parable about this man. He said he's a rich man already, and now he has a bountiful harvest, which in today's language would mean it's a bonanza, or he won the lotto, or he made a lot of money, lots of success. And he says to himself, "What shall I do? Should I care for the poor? Should I share it?" No. He says to himself, "I will build bigger barns. I will feed myself. And I will say, 'Eat, drink, and be merry, for now you are safe and now you are secure.'" And Jesus said to him, "You are a fool. Tonight, your life will be demanded of you, and where will all your riches go?" So let me look at this teaching about greed. I presume that this man's soul was already dead. When you hoard things, you die. When you share, you live. He was already dying, as I read him, as I meet him. But sometimes, in order to understand the parable, you have to stand back and take the long view. Remember Morris West's, I think, most beautiful book of all the books he wrote was his last one, View from the Ridge, shortly before he died. Now he had the long view and now he had an understanding of life that he did not have before. Following that counsel, you must take the long view, I decided. I would go for a few hours on Tuesday. I went for a few hours to Calvary Cemetery. I walked amongst the dead. I saw Cardinal Manning's grave and the plot next to it, which is where I will be buried if I die here, Father Niall's grave. I walked amongst the dead, and I sat there, and I listened to the voices of the dead. Insightful, powerful, in some ways demanding. And after some time living with the dead, I went to the chapel in the mausoleum to do my prayer time. During my prayer time, I remembered a morality play that goes back to the Middle Ages. It was written in England in the late 15th century, 1490. It became popular in the 1500s in England. Author unknown, and it's called Everyman. It's a complicated story, but the simple understanding of the story is this. This man is dying, he's close to his death, and he has three friends. His first friend, all his success, his prominence, his great reputation, his distinctions given to him with great applause by the world. And he says to his first friend, all his accomplishment, his money, his power, come with me into the presence of God and stand with me in my hour of judgment. But his possessions and his power, his recognition, his first friend said, we cannot go with you into the presence of God and stand with you in your hour of judgment. His second friend, his family and his kin. So he says to his family and his kin, come with me into the presence of God and stand with me in my hour of judgment. But his family and his kin said, we cannot go with you. We can only go until you die. His third friend, his good deeds, his generosity, his forgiveness, his care for others. Third friend, come with me into the presence of God and stand with me in my hour of judgment. And his third friend said, yes, we will go with you and we will stand with you in your hour of judgment. David Brooks is saying the same thing in his marvelous book, Road to Character, where he said, when you come to the end of life and you take the long view, you see things that you might have missed. You begin to understand there are two kinds of virtues in life. One he calls resume virtues. The other eulogy virtues. Resume virtues, all your accomplishments, your distinctions, your successes. People will applaud you for your resume. You're famous, you have great distinction. Eulogy virtues, were you kind? Were you generous? Were you faithful? Were you credible? Were you forgiving? And Brooks says, in the end of your life, eulogy virtues are the only ones that count. So avoid greed. Avoid greed in all its forms. When you hoard, you die. When you share, you live. Sometimes you won't see that unless you take the long view. In my long life as a priest here, I have spent many, many times with people who are approaching death, terminally ill, or people who are dying. It's a time of great revelation. I've been at the bedside of people dying with their families, sharing prayers and tears. People saying, "We forgive one another," saying, "I love you," in a manner you've never said it before, saying, "I'm grateful to you. I haven't thanked you in a manner in which I am now thanking you." And the tragedy is, why does it have to wait until you're dying before you can be generous and share the gifts of eulogy virtues? They're all that count at the end of. I've often wondered about my own eulogy. I'm going to have no eulogy, by the way. So. But writing my own testimony, I wondered if people would say, "Well, he gave good homilies. It's okay." Maybe. Maybe somebody would say, "He raised a lot of money and he built some buildings. I will turn over in my grave if that's the testimony of my life." If people would say, "I was lost and he helped me to find the meaning of my life. I felt left out of the church and he welcomed me. I felt beyond forgiveness and he assured me of God's infinite love. We remember him because he was with us in our time of crisis. When somebody died or somebody was struggling in life, my life will have been worth living." And I'll finish with this rather interesting story. Half a lifetime ago, when I was downtown and mixing in the whole economy of downtown social life, on one occasion, I was at this black tie dinner, very fancy, fancy, shishi dinner over in Beverly Hills. I was at the head table and I was sitting next to this man. His name is Jack. I won't tell you his last name because he is fairly famous. Massively wealthy. And Jack was a friend, not a close friend, but a friend. And we talked and talked, and then as we went through the dinner, this other friend came up to Jack and he asked him to help him with some charity that he was involved. Not a lot of help, but some help. But Jack said no. He was fervent, however. The petitioner was fervent and he pleaded with Jack, "You know, it won't take a lot from you, but it would mean a lot to us." Meantime, our friend at the other side of Jack said, "Jack, look, you can't take it with you. You might as well share it." To which Jack replied, "If I can't take it with me, I'm not going." Well, Jack is gone. He didn't take it with him. Rather interestingly, his will was contested and was in litigation for a long time. So, my friends, when you look at the long view, the judgments we make, the things which divide us, our demands, conflicts, take the long view, they're foolish. They're all passing. Avoid greed in all its forms.
Amen.